We want to move on to another headline, your wallet. The U.S. added more than 150,000 jobs in May. That's nearly double the number for April. But African-American families often had different realities to deal with. For example, the unemployment rate for black women jumped from 6 to 6.8%. Here to give us a grip on the job situation and other recent trends, we've got Bill Spriggs, professor and chair of economics at Howard University. Professor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with job growth. 157,000 jobs, that's what has happened over the course of a month. It seems like a lot. Is it?
Not really. The base number that determines all of these numbers that we listen to is the population over age 16, which grows at a rate of about 200,000 a month. And then those who are actively looking for jobs because they finished school or mothers returning to the labor force or folks returning from prison, as you had in an earlier story, that grows at the rate of about 180,000 a month. So when you only create 150,000 jobs a month, you're not meeting the increase in the number of people looking, and you're not meeting the increase in the population itself.
So you are saying that basically, although it's a significant number, it's not going to deal with some of the bigger systemic problems we have. A lot of people who, for different reasons, aren't even in the workforce, aren't even counted in unemployment numbers.
That's right. And when you look at the black unemployment rate recently, you can see how that plays out, because the drop in the unemployment rate for black women, for instance, from March to April, was generated because some black women gave up looking. And so it's not as if it's a good thing when it fell from March to April, and it bounced back up in May when some black women returned to the labor force trying to find a job and found they couldn't get one. So sometimes economists pay attention to another number, which is to look at how many people have a job relative to how many people there are. And that number has been dropping for African Americans, as it has been for Hispanics, since February. So the trend, if you look at it from black and Hispanic households, is that since February, the labor market has weakened considerably.
So there's a lot fewer people with jobs. They may not be counted in the unemployment numbers. They may be discouraged workers or people who are in other areas, prison, for example. But it sounds like overall there is shrinking employment. Now, what can be done to provide new opportunities for black workers who have fallen through the cracks and Latino workers? And to just get people, is it as simple as saying, okay, don't give up, go out, keep trying for that job, even if it's the minimum wage job and you'll make it? Or is there something else that's larger scale that has to happen?
Oh, something larger scale has to happen. People themselves don't get to create jobs. One of the problems is that personal income, you know, how much money we all make, fell in the period going from March to April. And that may be a better picture of what's going on the labor market than just looking at payroll employment, because it adds into it, what did we take home as a nation? And when that number falls, it means, of course, that demand has to be in line as well. People did buy some big ticket items in the last quarter, and that's helped out in those areas. But in retail, the whole sector has been fairly weak, and that's a job area that a lot of black women are employed. So that's part of the reason why you can see the unemployment rate for black women being higher. The housing market, we all know, has been weakened by problems with foreclosure rates being higher than some people anticipated. And so construction hasn't shown very much. And we continue to share jobs in manufacturing. So these aren't things that individuals control. They really have to do with trade policy, with monetary policy. The Federal Reserve has still been maintaining that it's more worried about inflation at the moment than it is about the very slow growth we had. In the first quarter, the whole economy only grew by a small amount. So as long as the bigger policies that determine whether we create jobs aren't in line, it's very hard for individuals to solve it on their own.
When I hear you say things like this, it makes me wonder what kind of message people get who are not, I mean, I'm sure that there are some members of our listening audience who do have power to change economic policy in the government or in large-scale private sector, but most of us are employees rather than people who are shot callers. So what do you do if you're not a shot caller and you want to preserve your own sense of being able to have opportunity in this country?
Well, you really do have to pay attention to the candidates. And you have to pay attention to the debates going on now about who will be the next president. President Bush will have produced the worst job creation record of any president other than Herbert Hoover. And so it does matter who leads the economy and who sets the tone for the total job creation in the economy. And people have to empower themselves to get the knowledge what sorts of policies generate jobs, what sorts of policies hurt job creation. And they have to listen to the candidates and vote to make sure that we will have someone leading the country who will be sensitive to those sorts of things.
I was just off last week on vacation in New York City, and New York is one of these places where the housing prices seem to keep going up and up and up and up and up no matter what. You mentioned housing just a couple of minutes ago, foreclosures. Even in New York, people are starting to say the housing market is softening. What exactly should people be concerned about in terms, on the one hand, it seems like there's this opportunity. If you have been priced out, maybe you won't be anymore. But this could set off a domino effect, couldn't it, for people whose savings are really invested in real estate?
Well, that's the fear that we all have. We're hoping that another shoe isn't going to fall and that this will all be contained. But the problem is, as the market gets softer, there are a lot of people who refinance their homes or people who bought new homes at the peak of housing values. And so when the price of the housing falls, then that means they can be in a situation of having negative equity. That is, they owe more money than the house that they're sitting on top of is worth. And they have to be nervous that something doesn't happen that forces them to try and sell the house. Either they lose a job or they go through a divorce and they try and split up the house, or something else causes them to try and sell the house, or they lose a job and can't make the payments. They're in an awkward position because the home isn't worth what they owe. And that could create the domino effect that we all fear.
Professor, I want to make things a little personal for you. You are at Howard University, of course, flagship HBCU in Washington, D.C. Recently, there have been some things that have been coming out, numbers showing that Washington, which also goes by the nickname Chocolate City, could become less than a majority black city because of gentrification. Is there a way to deal with some of these issues in the housing market and still respect people who've been longtime residents and who've had intergenerational families? Or do you think that a place like Washington, D.C., where you're based, is going to see an exodus of people who may not be of means?
Well, we're continuing to see the problems of people being redlined and blocked out of access to being able to buy a home. One of the ironies in this whole discussion of what's called the subprime market, people chased out of being able to get conventional loans at low interest rates, is that there are a lot of people out there getting those loans because they have not been able to get conventional loans at low interest rates, but they're making their payments. So this has really highlighted for us the extent to which we've been cut off from being able to buy homes at reasonable interest rates and get them to appreciate and get a chance to build wealth in those areas where housing prices are, in fact, rising. And the gentrification in Washington is just one of those indicators, as people who are renters have been chased out by those who own their homes are selling them. So it is a problem that we must address. Credit discrimination is a real problem in this country.
All right. On that note, Professor Bill Spriggs, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bill Spriggs is a professor and chair of economics at Howard University, and he came to NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.